antibacterial wipes for the open mic if you would like to.
Antiviral.
Yes. Okay. Now, I like to read this poem at Christmas time because it's based on a guy that I actually know who's homeless and he survived COVID so far. So it's called Cider Santa. Cider Santa. I see him most days outside City Hall advertising homelessness, lonesomeness, clutching his golden future, everybody's friend. One more swig before kissing the streets again. Cider Santa, how do you find yourself here, so far from Lapland?
Thanks, Catherine, our Fiverr Challenge winner tonight. Next, we're going to jump online to Brendan Mulcahy.
Yeah. Hi, thank you. Remind me of your name.
Michelle, thank you.
Michelle, thank you very much, Michelle. if I can sneak in too, and then we've got an early bedtime in our house. We were in Cork in late October, and we went down to Youghal, and we went to the Moby Dick pub, and we got the story and all of that, and then picked up that Victoria Kenefick has a white whale poem, and it's sort of part of her story as well. So I reread Moby Dick. Moby Dick gets such a bad rap, and it's unfair. It's really funny. It's a fantastic narrative, and people who should know better, they're asked sort of what's the book you can't finish. If they don't say Ulysses, they'll say Moby Dick, and they're wrong in both cases. So all the words in this one are from Herman Melville, but his sort of, I find it Shakespearean the way he writes. It's such powerful writing, and I've sort of carved out from Moby Dick a poem about Ahab, and I'll just give a little bit of it. And thus, through the serene tranquillities of the tropical sea, among waves whose hand clappings were suspended by exceeding rapture, Moby Dick moved on, still withholding from sight the full terrors of his submerged trunk, entirely hiding the wrenched hideousness of his jaw. O whale, the mad fiend himself is after you. Blow your trump. Blister your lungs. Ahab will dam off your blood. All ye nations before my prow, I bring the sun to ye. I drive the sea. Standing like an iron statue at his accustomed place, shaggy and black with a stubborn gloom, the old man's anvil purpose and intensified. His firm lips met like the lips of a vice. For there is no folly of the beast of the earth which is not infinitely undone by the madness of men.
Thanks, Brennan. Next up to the mic, we have Sally Nutt.
Can I do two? They're short enough. Or is it just one? Is it one? Or can I do two? I do one and then you can throw me off to my... The introduction to this poem was predicated on me being first on the open mic. I've no idea how Catherine Rona got ahead of me. Because I put myself down at the top of the list. Anyway. That's what happens when you win the poem.
Actually,
I'm a fine dirt. That's what happens when you win the 5-word challenge. Like, you know what I mean? Ego inflates immediately. I speak from experience. No. Anyway, this poem is called To Everything There Is a Season. remixed and reimagined by Stan Knott Creations. It's written using Nina Simone poems, which is why he needed to be first on to follow our guest definition. But anyway, this is how it goes. Since I fell for you, something wonderful is changing. In the morning, this strange fruit is fine and mellow. In the dark middle of the night, images of compassion love me, leave me feeling good, like lilac wine in summertime. Or the high priestess of soul making music for lovers under the lowest pastel blue moon over Alabama. These feelings tell me more and more, and then some, about the human touch, why we forget to love. Some say I'm falling in love again, but don't you pay no mind to them. Just take my hand and turn me your forbidden fruit on. That's all I want from you. Because for all we know, tomorrow you might do what you gotta do and return home to the other woman. Her plain gold ring is real. Real is the amazing consummation we enjoy day and night. I love your loving ways, Suzanne. Cherish stomping at the Savoy on Sundays in Savannah. And I want more and more and then some. But don't let me be misunderstood. If I should lose you, be a single woman for a while, no willow will weep for me, because I'm young, gifted, and black, and that's something to live for. And the second one that I can read, with the permission of Paul Casey, is for Philip Spillane. Called Do You Ever Remember? Do You Ever Remember the Stand-Up Creations Reinvention? At the chime of a city clock, black mountain blues blossom, and thoughts of Mary Jane fly from the morning road to a strange meeting of voices, which I know will parasite on all my trials until the day is done. I try to remember a pink moon padding in the rushes by the fruit tree in the garden. Your sketch of five leaves paddling in Rushmere. Your cello song about magic things behind the sun in a way too blue northern sky. But time has told me tomorrow is a long time from the morning chime of a city clock. So I know this timepiece introduction to Saturday sun clothes a treasury of black dogs who go strailing down the hazy highway to Sunday with this poor boy. As he harvests and breathes thoughts of Mary Jane and tries to remember the time before thoughts of Mary Jane were parasites.
Can we get Mary O'Connell to the mic next, please?
Thanks, Michelle. Hi, everybody. It's lovely to be here. This is a play on words. It's called Medieval Mix-Up. When King Arthur called his knights to the round table, he gave each a name that suited their behavior. The electrical knight he called Sir Kit Breaker. As he kept snuffing out candles in the great hall. His mate, a merry prankster with an ample girth, and fashionably rotund, he named Circumference. One who was always in his cups and falling down was known by all as Cirrhosis of the Liver. The knight who kept running amok annoyed the king, who called him Circumstances Beyond His Control. A poor fellow who fared badly during tournaments, fearing for his life, he named Sir End of Pity. The ill-tempered knight, who was constantly frowning, caused the king to address him as Surly Bastard. Sir Lancelot became front page news in the Lancet when he called circumcision a bloody ripple. King Arthur, irate at this wanton transgression, summoned circumspect to re-establish some calm. He succeeded at last, but circumlocution gave a speech so long-winded, they all fell asleep.
We are going to, let's jump online now to Carl Holden. Ready to go?
Hi guys. We have the technical difficulties ironed out now, so should go more smoothly. This one I wrote last year for the solstice, which is coming now in a week. It doesn't have a name. I haven't opened it up in a while, but here it is. Evening eats the flowers. Day returns them woken. So slip into the night with petals open. Still be wary. You must love your dragons. They will devour you or empower you. My wishbone was broken by my wish of mending. I passed long seasons healing, hurting and remembering before my wish was granted. And my spirit taught me wisdom. Vision healer, look here above the ranges, to the mist like Himalayas. I can see St. Peter's and St. Finbar's between Mount Eagle and Slievbrainen. You are sprung from earth and river. You are silver from the mountain. And all that you'll find up here is the head you kept your clouds in, clear and open. For first light was spoken. The breaking wheels are broken. Love is the word that made you. Return. Before you're made to. The darkness before dawning, you are arranged as is the chorus of the birds in early morning. Dress in day, for you are waking. I am dowsing, I am calling. My heart comes back from drifting. I have come across a distance. I will cross or drown in the ocean of my mission, lover's purpose. I come for my fullness. I gathered light in darkness, bringing solstice to my madness, to behind me leave the underworld aglow with all my torches, so I may come and go as do the fish in flowing waters. So come now making light. Come be breathless after. It is always the beginning, and the stars are fresh with laughter, wash in their great river. It is for those who have suffered, as lightly as we'd habit when we tell ourselves to others, when the wind plays with your hair. Does it ask for your forgiveness? Life is play, for death is in us. We are greater for the wisdom of its levy, though the heart deems the scales heavy. Apparatus, to thine own self be true. Incarnations as in tulips, as you wilt, so do. And do not weigh your feathers, but weave them to your wingtips. Love, rebirth, and solstice. Good morning. Happy Christmas.
Going back to the room now to Philip Spillane, please.
Thank you very much. I have a quick announcement of my own. I'm releasing my own online event next week as a music. We have a few poetry films, one from Michelle's own poetry. And we have a poetry film for Cahill as well. So I'm really I've been working on well, yeah, a team of us have been working on it since August. Sorry, it's been on my mind a lot, and I really would love if you can all tune in, and if not, it's going to be on YouTube for ever afterwards. It's on out in the solstice. Keep an eye out.
Okay.
So. Oh yeah. What's it called? The Locked Out Collection. This will be issue 4.
Oh,
all right.
Just getting a hand of advertising, I'm sorry. She slides velvet hands up my arms. Cold, silk, soft, scratching. Tangles her fingers up in mine. It tingles. The phallus murmurs. The drunken world spins. My head slumps on her shoulder. We are close together. Swim in the loud conversation of this party. Nothing more. I am not horny. Just hard. Together, trying to combine. At 2 a.m. I call a taxi to make sure she gets home okay. Then walk home alone. Trying to find a difference between moonlight and street lamp.
Thanks very much, Philip, and it was a pleasure to work with you on that, and I can't wait to see Carl's work as well on that. So we're going to keep it in the room now with Jim Cricker next, please.
Thanks, Michelle. So this is called The Greatest Thing Since Sliced Bread. The greatest thing since sliced bread is a phrase that came to me while opening a tin of beans. A phrase I'd like to inquire more closely, to interrogate the greatness of saving seconds from your life to use a knife to cut from crust to crust. The expiry date on this tin of beans is 3 years from now, and I think about all the wartime mouths it fed this century, kept fresh in its metallic coma, transported by boat across the sea, arriving from the sky by parachute. Now look again at sliced bread, saving seconds from your life to use a knife to cut from crust to crust. What if sliced bread was sent to war? Crushed in transit, moldy and blue, think about the amount of crumbs arriving from the sky, arriving by parachute. Hungry soldiers dropping their guns and sticking out their tongues to taste the weak-based snowflakes as they bloat before the enemy. How would the Bible read if they'd discovered sliced bread? Jesus took the sliced pan, opened it, left it for his disciples and said, "Take this, all of you, and make your own sandwiches." Would Mary have made it to Bethlehem if there were tins of beans strapped to the back of her camel? Or would the democratization of tinned food have destroyed King Herod's empire?
Thanks, Jim. Nice Christmassy one there. So again, Pam Campbell reading online for us next, please.
Hey y'all. I'm going to be reading one of my poems from the Blue Mondays anthology, and it's birthed in a group led by Sue and many people who were in the room and on the Zoom squares here with me are in this group. But the anthology is coming out before Christmas. It has 14 poets' work with drawings by Max Creedon, and it's going to have an official launch occurring in January. And I'm, how'd I do, Sue? Okay, here we go. The title of my poem is No. No hesitated on my tongue, stumbled into a disguised yes way too many times, yesing me into nothingness. No is a complete sentence, says Anne Lamott, Oprah, and my friend Leon. No, they say, needs no justification. No explanation, clouding its meaning and position. These three lived into hardness and grew into their own well-loved skin. Yet the naysayers gather, grumbly grammarians claim that no cannot stand alone. They preach a holy trinity. A complete sentence requires a subject, a verb, and an object. I disagree. No determines, no decides, no stands alone, feet planted firm on her ground. I pull newfound courage covered with no's over my second chance skin. Lots of them, a preamble to freedom, all standing alone. No's that simmered, no's that stewed, no's that were bold. Yet grammarians still drone. The shortest complete sentence in the English language is I am. But is not no holy? No is the bone of I am, its resilient, pliant boundary, allowing that which is good and true to thrive, and knowing away that which crushes. No is whispered by the broken. No is sung by the hopeful. No is the sweetest harmonic. No, no, no.
Thanks, Ben. Next up to the mic, we get Lorna Dunlop, please.
Okay, so this poem for two reasons. One, Tom McCarthy, the marvelous Irish poet, says, when you have writer's block, write about baking, and always include a deer, so I'm one for two there. And two, as Cottle said earlier, you must love your dragons. So, baking with floor. Lo, I sit her down on the tear-soaked floor, under the rage-splattered walls of a 1,000-square-foot glass prison. First, I give stacking spoons, blue nested cups, a mixing bowl, then sugar, flour, water, butter. She redecorates while I bake to make motherhood tangible, a solid thing to put upon the scale to try and counterweigh my failure. She grows a little more, and then we both are on the floor, greasing tins, folding flour, cracking eggs with her hand so light on top of mine. We stir together with one spoon, unless interrupted by me do. I watch her face furious with concentration, lifting, pouring, powdering, slick with oil and butter. Her love is my ingredient. Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah. Nice one. Next up online, could we call Massimo Alesia?
Always so happy to be here. I'm just a poet, not a preacher or a prophet either. But at the pulpit, how can I not be a teacher? As far as your faith, I may be a non-believer, but that does not mean I am not a believer. The way that I believe is as a seer and a hearer and a toucher and a taster and a tester and a feeler and a lover and a hater and a herder and a healer. My experience is the final seal. Nothing's realer. Thoughts form forms through the names that I call them. Forms form thoughts through their shapes as I draw them. Following the source of the well they are drawn from, the force that they spring from, I use to dissolve them. So they say, if you want to solve a problem, don't use the same method that caused the problem. I thought my job was repairing and resolving till I saw I stopped spinning and the world kept revolving. Like I said, I'm not trying to be a problem, but if you've got a problem with me, it's not my problem. You could criticize me from the top to the bottom. All you could say is he's the way the universe wanted him. I may not say I'm saved, but don't call me fallen. Most of these points of faith are just points of talking. I do what I want and try not to do what I don't want. The trick is to know what is worth wanting, when to want and when it's time to stop wanting. But without asking, all I need, I have gotten. Born with a body that is not my concoction, and a consciousness that lets me sleep but keeps watching. Sometimes the thought can seem haunting, but instead let it be a comfort and be calming. It doesn't have to be some great truth for the dawning. It's just my natural state before I think to let a thought in. All you have to do to be a human being is just keep being human and just being. We give life to the world just by breathing, and the world saves our life even while we're sleeping. So it's all good, it's all good. As long as you're good, it's all good. All is good. Are you all good? Good. As long as you're good, it's all good. Peace. Here.
I think you were definitely one of the silver linings of lockdown, you know, finding each other. Thanks again.
Oh, you made the whole pandemic beautiful for me. I shouldn't put it that way, but you really, it was a really special thing to connect with you all. So thank you for saying that. Yeah.
Thanks, Massimo. Next up, we're back to the room with Bilal Mazam.
Thank you. Yeah, it's relevant. This is short. It has only looking back suddenly with regret. We never got to truly sail our sunset. I don't blame the advice of anyone else. I don't think I was wrong for choosing myself. But how many times can I push away destiny? Maybe you and me were meant to be symmetry. Maybe such a love should last for eternity. Maybe there is pain when you needed sympathy. Maybe all I did was earnestly set me free. And that was the second time it happened. I pushed away your cane and let you lean on my shadow. And when the sun shined and exposed my mirage, I was already gone to that strange place that I go. I feed off the leaves of all the green in the world. I need you to be more a queen than a girl. I leave you a piece of my guilt-ridden soul and ask you to keep it for me till I know. I do untangle the myriad of threads, from compassionate lovers to not even friends. When we stood last and called it the end, I really still believed I would feel you again.
Thanks, Bilal. I'm going to embarrass you now. Maybe I won't. I think last month was Bilal's first time on the mic, and he missed out on that applause. So let's give it to him now. great to have you. Keep on back. We're going to jump back online now to Sue Blue.
All right, thanks very much. So I'm going to use my slot first to do a little advertising. Paul, is it okay if I share my screen?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, so I'll just go ahead and do that. Hang on a minute. Share screen, there's a post-disabled participant screen sharing. You need to release that for me to allow. I'll try again. Still disabled, Paul. So anyway, the plug that I want to put is about the book that Pam was already hinting to, because with the Blue Mondays writing group, we put together a little anthology where 14 of us put poetry forward. So there's many of us here and in the room, and Mags has done a superb job drawing all of us and making a beautiful cover, and that's what I would like to share. This book is going to be self-published, and we're getting supported by Cork City Library, which we're very grateful for. Also, we are going to be supporting the Simon community with the proceeds of the book, 50% of it, and the Simon community is a homelessness support charity here in Cork, and it is very much needed in relation to the whole social situation of Cork since actually really the crash in 2008 and ongoing, but worse and worse. And so we are supporting, to support homeless people in their hopefully stabilization with that book. And we will have the book available in before Christmas, actually, hopefully available from various shops, bookshops, and which we will post on social media. And we also will have a PayPal account for making orders that will go then directly to John, who takes care of that side. So that would be lovely. I can try again maybe now to share the screen. This is the screen, and I'm so proud of this cover because, like, we put a huge effort into it. Mags do that. And, yeah. And I'm telling you, the learning curve for myself was beautiful and strong and steep in many ways, and technologically as well, to get this to the printer. And because we didn't get it to the printer quite on time, we cannot launch it with the library on Zoom before Christmas. But we will have a Zoom launch in January instead, and I'll be talking to the library, and we'll have it through them then, and so that will go through social media as well. So I'll stop my share now here. And I'd like to just do one little poem here now that I have, which is seasonal and not long, and in German first and in English second. It's very short, and I wrote this ages ago in 1991 when I was really kind of still a kid almost. So here we go. Schnee. Sterne fallen aus Höhen fern, reich beschenkt die Welt. Weißes Glitzern, Stern auf Stern, legt sich sacht aufs Feld. Warme Decke überm Gras, sanft mummt sie's hinein. Rieselnd kaltes Glitzernass dämpft alle Laute ein. Hüte sind auf jedem Zaun, warme Kälte klirrt. Dem Zweig ein Sternenkleid sie bauen, der Baum zum Schmuckstück wird. Feine Sternchen schweben nieder, Himmelsschnuppen gleich. Erstaunt, bezaubert stehe ich wieder, wie's Kind im Herzen reich. So that's totally cliche and extremely trad, and I apologize for that, but I did actually make a calendar with that. So here comes the English translation, which I did only last year. So this is snow. Stars drift down from distant heights, abundance for the world. Star by star lays glistening white, a cover over the field. Warming blanket on the grass, all softly wrapped around. Powdery cold the glitter mass is hushing every sound. A winter hat on every fence, warm tingles in the cold. Each twig wears, made of stars, a dress. The tree themselves are jewels. Finest sparkles shower down like heaven's shooting stars. Amazed I stand again, spellbound, a child enriched in heart.
Thanks, Sue Blue. That was fantastic and extremely worthy cause. I can't wait to get a copy of that, and lovely illustrations there by Max Creedon as well, I saw. Woo! Woo! Okay. Next up, Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe.
Yeah.
Patricia Walsh. Yeah. Do you want to read it for us?
I wrote this as of last week, and it doesn't have a title, but I hope we can sort of make sense of it yourselves. I strolled at a particular hour, plain to see, another disaster faltering at will. Mental photographs burning altogether. The pedant's cries light up at another will. Caricatured sunlight above all juice call of duty. The perfunctory poverty grows at its finest. The easily interpreted punish at this time. The alarm on standby rumbles what's not to be. Choices for formality still going on concern. Growing through the cold, flippant application, no evidence of abuse at a given moment. The unwary quips running through the foyer. The policy of extermination sweeps like so. Gone into windy endeavours on stage. The necessity to talk, avoiding the crash, the closed natured coming out to play. Finite dawdlings engraving what's not to like. Another's handiwork peppered where a harmonic prey. Flick off the switches, close the doors. Mere catatonia cannot save you now. Rescue from a loop of infinite desire. Happiest where needed. Breaking ranks again. A born virtuoso, running in tandem with sight. Thanks.
Okay.
We have Carolyn McCartney to the mic next, please.
Woo! Woo! Get off! You're lovely, then. Yeah, savage evening, lads. It's so nice to just to hear your voice. Yeah, this is new enough. That you have no faith in this statement makes no change to its status as a fact. That you once lacked patience does not justify your lateness to react. Though its effects are latent, they don't shade the balance, the blatance of its impact. Thinkers go on waiting. Actors can't give up the act. The trapped were found escaping, and they are wondering which way is west. Though I have never been there, I'm quite sure that I like that place the best. I heard there's good life in the making, easy passes for easy tests. Better times, better prepare. Hardship, you can be my guest. Where days begin in safety and end with welcome rest. Only passion enslaves me, and curiosity holds me to her breast. Where silence doesn't shape me, commentary fast and loose. Thoughts and words in tandem stated with reckless abandon, whose expression has nothing to lose.
Let's go back online to Martha Ewens, please.
Hi, thank you. So this poem is called Sore Head. Get me out of here. Get me out of this cold, messy place. Take me away, somewhere nice where people understand, where there are no Marthas, don't be angries, no Martha, don't be goods, no Martha, are you highs, are you lows, are you wells? Take me to where there are only yeses and nos, rights and wrongs, no in-betweens. Take me to where the sun shines and the snow falls, like my tears of joy and melancholy. When will we taste the taste of freedom brush my lips, the shackles of mental bondage fall from my limbs, the tinges of panic, pain and sorrow begin to leave me behind? When will my parents stop worrying about me and start worrying about themselves? Has my life even begun? Oh, it has, says a wise but annoying voice, but I can't hear them because my soul has died.
Thank you so much. Next up, we're back to the room with Calvin Wire, please.
Thanks. Reservoir. There is a cloud above me, blushing mundane. Demure and Damoclean, a tempest that ferments only in threats of rain. It haunts my heels like a beaten shadow, a halo looped in a lonely orbit. It wields my release as lovers cling to broken bodies, as broken bodies cling to love. I beg it burst and requeeth its blood, obsidian drops kissing wrists and leaping from fingertips, bathing me in melancholy, so I too may break within it and break again, just as waves weave themselves, multitude of masts to be cast against the cliff, leviathans brought low and disparate, fractures flee to flow again. I will see myself in its dissolution, infinitely reborn in the shards of every tear. Thank you.
Next up, back online, we have Max Creedon. Sorry about that. I spot myself being called. That's me, is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that. I didn't want to hold it up. Right. I suppose I just want to do a short piece there. Colm told me to sing the song, so blame Colm. I suppose I come from the parish of Lera, Eileen Dovey Connell and Marabuil Era, and they did sing their poems, so I'm quite proud to break into song. But I just want to start this one. It's a piece based on when I can't sleep, I tend to come down and I always watch Fans Run Catherine or CNN. There's always these bulletins. So just to it'll tie in with the oldest teenage refugee mom that there was. So sit in an ice-wet street, women and children first, in Brussels, at the Petit Chateau. To break the day, they bring soup, puff jackets and coats, barely shift, sleep with night creatures to keep their place. He tells them, stay in Mexico, wait for the MPP, migration protection protocols that don't call. The man has no choice but to reinstate the program for the stateless. Teenage girls at risk of being pregnant, a child bearing a child, child marriage, child abuse, when forced to flee their home alone. So that's why I wrote this piece last year for my godson's daughter. So I'll try and sing it there. So part Irish, I'm trying to translate for the Scots Gaelics. In St. Stoblas, not year a kinny her, the yeeden she on play has gone in falter, them posh and viden. Ach na ba igan lua larig cune a hea. Gain cyn all down don moch nu bra. Don che darg in sun down le ffong cun e a iwch.
an rieghe togach mahar an chedlin an en luch ken triel de wachende flickende as de lag an a tree rekilver an store at a kusser Lan sheed and come a thus and sparey her. August Melchior and Casper Baltazar. Oh, she tore him off some Messiah as Narel. Das is off in a stable in a car off Eastern land. He tries to shelter her from the desert winds. No welcome for the maiden child she's bearing. Just the cattle breathing close to warm the air for him. What kind of a world for her little one? What kind of his first gaze into a place that was to hunt him down? A king who took each other mother's firstborn son. What a price, what a sacrifice for the son of man. And the wise ones lay their treasures at his feet. They had followed a hurled comet from the east. And Melchior and Caspar Balthazar foretold this boy child's coming from the stars. What a journey to be placed upon a brave young girl. Way too soon for her, she's too tender and too vulnerable. But this mother and her man, they call the carpenter, kept her baby safe in Egypt until they returned. Now with Melchior and Serafim and Cherubim, now fly through starry skies to a moonlit hill. Through the shepherds and the lambs and angels' calls, Gloria in excelsis, Shalom al Salam. Peace on earth to all true men of goodwill. What kind of a world would it be for today? Maybe a place where someone kind would ask her to stay. And a kindred of all creeds would reconcile. Live in peaceful harmony for this one silent night. And now fly to starry skies to a moonlit hill. To the shepherds and the lambs an angel calls, Gloria in excelsis, Shalom al Salam. Inuket, Shwaya Habibi, peace on earth to all true men of goodwill. Peace on earth to all true men of goodwill. Okay.
Thanks, Mags. That was a lovely lullaby there now. I had to wake myself up. We're going to keep it online now next with Augustina, if you're ready to read.
Hi. Hope you're all well. I'm here in the UK now, so that's weird. And this is going to be probably one of the shortest poems I'm reading. And it's inspired by a song by the Bengtsons, which I will probably sing a little part of it after. Some of you might have heard it before. But yeah, it's great and medicinal, I'll call it. We are more than the things we do, and the world needs us to be in harmony. That's the poem. Now the lyrics. The world needs you. more than it needs what you do. The world needs you. More than it needs what you do. It's enough. It's enough. It's more than enough. 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 If you want to sing along, you can sing along. More than it needs what you do. The world needs you. More than it needs what you do.
Woman.
It's enough. It's enough. It's more than enough. 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 That's it.
Said we'll never get enough of Augustina. Thanks. I love that as an alarm clock or something. That was lovely. Thank you so much.
I don't know, maybe just associated with bad bodies because you're so wrong.
No, never, never.
Yeah.
So next up we are going to have Margaret O'Regan.
Thanks, Michelle. This poem is also going to be in the Blue Mondays anthology, and the from cover I hadn't seen up to now, so well done to Max Creedon for the beautiful design. This is an acrostic poem, and it's called Love Undiluted. Love, when it embeds, when it embodies, ought to be known, ought to notice velvet-like softness, enveloping the mind and heart. Under the skin, under the rim, naked desire seething within, dreamily sending high voltage signals in sparks and synapses, connecting, lustily fusing, cylinders firing, undulating free-floating filaments, terminal throbbing, primed and longing, excitedly rushing towards a neurotransmission, dripping, gushing, in rapid release.
I can see Connor appreciating that. And Connor, I have a very short four-liner that you'll appreciate. It's lust or love, love or lust. Who the fuck cares why the feelings rage? Thanks, Margaret. Next up online, I have Daw H.
Dahl
Harding, excuse me.
It's our old dog.
Is he muted?
Yeah.
We can't hear you, Dawn.
No, he's not muted.
Isn't he?
No, now.
Can you hear me?
Yeah! Okay.
Short form call, mad heart. He said I was mad, although I knew it. It wasn't nice to hear it, but I was mad about her, and if she knew it, I doubt if she could bear it. So I'd keep my madness to myself. So dance, mad heart, dance, and let my sleeve wear it. Thanks.
Thank you, Doc. Next up, we're going to keep it online with Seamus Harrington, please.
Who are we waiting for?
Can you ask Seamus if he can hear us?
Seamus, can you hear us? You're invited to read next on the open mic.
Maybe. No.
Seamus Harrington.
Yes, Seamus Harrington.
Hello. Oh, sorry.
Here we go.
Sorry about that. Mixed up. Can I go back to last Tuesday? The pictures from the RTE News on Tuesday evening were taken from the top of this building. And so I dug this out then. It's called Open Day. And it's very hard to read. It's just the shape, but I'll try. I never read it before. Right. Open Day. A weather window at last. Into the doorway filters the trickle of feet, eager shoals always in single file follow the leader step after step in lemming-like incremental stages, a seep of osmosis percolating up, up the granite stem. The group's rear guard admires the flat cam, seals slip away to seaward, red handrails, steps chiseled into rock, under ominous gantries and derricks, white storm rooms, storehouses, generations of generators, concrete paths whitewashed past that heliport, perched on a flat cliff edge, fortified windows flicker in guana sunshine, onward and upward, upward in stratified layers, parabola of Lilliputians, a helical spiral of concentric circles, as each course of stonework narrows towards the waist of the rising sentinel, daylight slits into musty paint and saline spray, hazy smells cling to iron echoes that clang on the staircase at the top floor is reached, a peaceful lantern room, no click-clack of cogs, a burst of opulent optics, but the view stirs the leaders, a gasp of delight escapes over the balcony, and two gannets soar into the seascape, far away down the flight, expectations elevate the troop, which leg to rest on, but the patient majority of us favor the left to match the widest part of the clockwise step.
Thank you very much, Seamus. Next up, we're going to have Roisin Magherbone, please.
Thanks for all your readings.
This is called The Good Bird Keeper. There is an aviary where I hide all my fine birds, a gilt-edged lock and a cast-iron key ensures the safety of worn-out wings. I am the good bird keeper. Feed them on husks of shame-ridden seeds. Rip pages from books and layer their nests with foul, fractured words. Each day I read stories of birds like them, Oscar's nightingale, Ted's crow, Emily's wren. At night I sing them to sleep with bloodshot lullabies pitched to the tones of grief. But all my birds are sick. Under greenfinch's wing, mold festers like worried ants. Sparrow's foot is damaged from scratching at his mustard perch. Flecks of blood dot falcon's velvet head. Has he forgotten how to dive? And I have tied blackbird's beak shut with string to stifle her constant screaming. It worries me when visitors come to call. I fear what they would see. A creature half carrion clinging to the cage, her mouth sprouting ink-stained wings.
Next up, we're going to have Alan Titley joining us online, please. Yay. Alan Titley is not here.
You won't hear that. So, to wrap up our night, it's none other than our very own Cozy Rosie O'Regan. Yay!
My poem is very short. Very short.
It is you, Susanna. I couldn't tell from the hat when I was sitting down, like, just to your shoulder. Susanna, do you have a poem? Do you have a poem?
Yeah.
Do you want to read your poem? I'll go first and you come after me. Okay, right. Brilliant. That's perfect. Okay. So, I really wanted to have a fresh poem to you all. I was like, all week I was like, I need to finish a poem because I haven't finished a poem in a really long time. And I still didn't finish a poem. I had like one line and it is, what is this beast that peers out of unknown dark? And I don't know where to go from there with it. But in the spirit of the night that it was, I'm going to share an old poem. It's very short. And it's called Easy Single. So to our American friends, I don't know if you know what easy singles are. They're the worst kind of cheese you can imagine. It's the worst cheese. It's like plastic cheese. It's like, when you put it under the fucking grill, it like, there's still a film of plastic over it. And it's nasty. Right. Yeah, some people love it. Some people fucking love it. So, yeah, that's the title of my poem. Easy Single. Easy Single. Love sucks. I blow.
Thank you.
Okay, first of all, I apologize with Paul because I just bumped into Catherine. She said to me, oh, there is a place free so you can take my seat. So I didn't. So I apologize. That was very naughty, but I'm vaccinated anyway. So because Rosie read something about being single, I just read my poem about being single. So let me. Okay, so that's, I wrote that one night, the last night I met a guy before the pandemic. I went to a gig. And I met a musician. And we had a lovely evening. And then we arrived home, and he was so drunk, bench to do, he fainted asleep on the floor. And I wrote the poem. It's called Half Awake. I steal the cigarette from between your fingers for a puff, for the sake of flirting. I don't smoke either. The soft blanket on the white morning in my bedroom and the exhalation of my dog's breath under the door. Did you really bring that stinky chicken roll in the bedroom? Plantago's heads are bumping on the plastic of my sandals, a snare drum announcing my feet. You're the last man I saw asleep, the last deep voice I laughed with when the drunk man fell asleep on his sandwich in Lennox. Those two pigeons we saw curled up in the cold night were balancing on a thick wire. How did they do that? Did they choose each other, or did they just join together for the sake of warmth? I don't close my eyes when magic night surprises me, and I'm balancing my weight on the mattress next to you. In the meantime, we found the way to bed, pondering the shades of your ginger hair, the cliché of meeting a musician one night. I love Mingus too, and wow, the story of the clown, that could be me, trying to keep the hate of our laughter so that I don't lose your undivided attention. I'm half awake on the wire and fearing the morning arriving too soon. I notice a polite stranger in my bed. I watch you brushing your teeth and gently folding your toothbrush in the cellophane. You do it as if you were handling a delicate flower, a dear picture from when you were a child. You're gone in the gray and cold Sunday morning, under a night that wanted more out of lovers, and a moon that was so small and clear to be plucked like a pea.
Thank you, Susanna. Is it okay?
It's Susanna.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Thank you, Susanna. I just want to double check that we haven't missed anybody. Is there anyone that would like to read a poem here or online? Anybody? Okay, we're good. Guys, thank you so much for it. It's such a gorgeous night. Happy Christmas. We love it. Thanks to everybody that read on open mic tonight, everybody that read on the 5-word challenge, including our winner, Catherine O'Regan, and also especially thanks to our guest poets tonight, Conor McManus, accompanied by our Colm Scully, and Leontia Flynn. Well done.